Or are you just waiting for me to play the song?
Starting the show.
Oh, yeah, okay. I thought that was like wrap it up and going or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, well then,
you,
I guess.
You need to teach us the
signs
for stealing third and shit like that, buddy, okay?
Yeah, man.
You need to go over that in one of the pre-show meetings.
In high school, it was take, bunt, and steal. It was TBS, and the hat was the indicator, so. And then you wipe it all off. That will start the show.
You gonna lead the vocal in, right? Cheer. Motherfuckers wanna act loco. Hit them up, numerous shots with a fofo. Backers wanna turn them po-po. Smoke them like cocoa. Fuck rap, coke by the boat low. Fuck that on the run by a gun high when I close. That pole do some got closed. Have your bullshit clock with the full clip. Motherfuckers better duck when the pool spit. One shot can make a nigga do a full flip. Seen a nigga laying a shot when the pool hit. Hey, my high you. No niggas wanna buy you. You see me, I wanna fuck for free. Like I got Nelly. Niggas ride, make you feel it inside your belly. If it's tight, get the KY jelly. All night, get you wide up beside the telly. Side to side, till you say, Jay-Z, you're too much for me. A little bit of loneliness, a little bit of disregard. Handful of complaints, but I can't help the fact that everyone can see these scars. I am what I want you to want, what I want you to feel. And it's like no matter what to do, I can't convince you to just believe this is real. So I let go, watching you, turn your back like you always do. Face away and pretend that I'm not, I'll be here cause you're all that I got.
Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, hello, internet world. How are you? I'm fine. And welcome back to the latest edition of Pod is War. Pod is War is brought to you by the good folks at Chair Shot Radio Network in conjunction with
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And use your heads, you shall. Please and thank you, and please make the smartest, most intelligent purchase you can possibly make, which is going to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Pick up your official Chair Shot merchandise, your t-shirts. We've got old school designs. We've got new school designs. We've got the Corona Chair Shot logo, which is one of my personal faves. I actually, my lady actually has that shirt. We've got Chair Shot 316. That's another cool one. Save Tag Team Wrestling. We've got my personal fave, Jesus Did the Job. And, of course, we have the hottest shirt across the land, the latest sensation that is sweeping the nation, the one and only shirt endorsed by the man himself. That's a shoot, brothers. Baron Corbin, i.e. the Baron Corbin Sucks t-shirt. Go pick them up, please and thank you, thank you. And please, if you enjoy what we do and the content that we provide, hook your boys up, show us a little bit of love. Also, we're patrons now. You guys can go to patreon.com/thechairshot, and for $5, I guess I say it two more times because it's $5, the cost of a shitty Subway sandwich, you can get even more of a Chair Shot experience. You'll get shows early. You'll get exclusive content only for our Patreons. And listen, it's $5 a month. So you get us, the WWE Network, that's $15, and that's all you need. In terms of wrestling, you'll be good. You'll be in there like swimwear. All right. Again, www.patreon.com/thechairshot. My name is Christopher Platt, Mr. Velvet Pipes. As always, I'm joined by the one, the only, Mr. Andrew Belaz.
Yeah. Yep. That's all true. That's good. Good job, Chris. Proud of you.
All right. And the part of Andrew Belaz this evening will be played by the zombies from I Am Legend, apparently. And also, ladies and gentlemen, we also have Mr. Commissioner PC Tunney. PC, before you begin, first and foremost, I have to congratulate you and my main man DPP for reaching your 200th episode with the DWI podcast. And I also wanted to say publicly, from the bottom of my heart, I really do apologize, and I truly feel bad that I wasn't able to participate in that show. So from the bottom of my heart, man, I really do apologize. But again, Congratulations. That's a hell of a milestone, brother.
If you listen to the show, you will find out you are on the show.
All right. Way to bury me in front of the audience. Cool.
You're welcome. Hello, everyone.
Hey, fellas, before we get started, can I say one thing?
Sure.
Fuck you can Postmates.
Say as many things as you want. Why? Why fuck Postmates?
Because these sons of bitches fucked up my order, man.
What did you order?
So I'm supposed to pay for food. What does it matter? I mean, okay, I'll get to that. But I'm supposed to pay for food that I didn't order. And the most that they're going to tell me on the goddamn app is, sorry, we messed up your order. And that's the second time in 3 weeks that they fucked my shit up.
How many times I got to tell you? Some wings,
right?
Uber Eats.
I actually deleted Uber Eats because I needed some space on my phone. I might have to bring the motherfucker back after this. So I ordered 10 wings, okay? 10 wings, a combination of lemon pepper and barbecue combined together. Yes, they do that here in Atlanta. It's amazing. You should give it a try.
It does sound interesting.
So, yeah, lemon pepper wets. That's what they call them. So the chick calls and she says, oh, I can't get through the gate. So I'm like, okay, whatever. I'll go outside and meet her. Even though
Go back. Okay. What did she really sound like? Because you were about to say what she really sounded like.
No, it was a text message, so she didn't call. It was a text message.
I thought she'd be like, I can't get through the gate.
You should have been like, bitch, suck it in.
Yeah, that's exactly how it went in my head. Everything that you all just said. So I'm like, okay, whatever. So I go outside to meet her, and literally every other fucking person on the face of the planet is getting through the goddamn gate. So what the fuck did you do wrong? I don't know what, but you did something wrong, whatevs. So I get the bill. Okay, whatevs. Old Sherry Shepherd looking ass bitch. So anyway, so I get the food. I get it in my house. And again, I told you guys, I ordered the lemon pepper wet. It was barbecue with the lemon pepper seasoning combined. It's amazing. You should try it again. They give me some type of flavory garlic shit, and there's only 6 wings in it. So not only does my fucking house, the garlic is reeking through my house. My house smells like fucking Van Helsing's crib. I get 6 fucking wings. I ordered 10, but I paid for 10, but only got 6. And then I get on the app, and they're like, hey, how's your food? Hey, man, it's fucked up. Y'all fucked up the order.
Oh, sorry about that.
No, hey, yeah, man, yeah. Here's something free. Hey, we're just going to refund it, and everything is everything, yada, yada, yada. No, I'm still to sit up here and pay for this meal that I didn't fucking get. So then Amber has the good idea, which it really was a good idea. Hey, man, maybe you should tweet them. And I'm like, well, I don't know. I don't have enough followers. I don't know if it'll gain any traction. So I tweet them, and yeah, I don't hear shit. So I tweet them again. I still don't hear shit. So now it's hashtag boycott Postmates. Fuck them. I'm going to fuck around and tweet Trump, man. You know, he's trying to get the black vote. I'm sure he's going to try to – he's trying to be there for black people. So maybe I need to get him involved in this. You know that motherfucker always on Twitter anyway. But goddamn, fuck you, Postmates, with a red-hot poker in your fucking ass that's been dipped in porn star syphilis, glue, and broken shards and fragments of glass. Fuck you.
Oh, I guess now is a bad time to tell you we're going to be sponsored by Postmates moving forward, right?
They're a wonderful establishment.
Hey, Andrew, imagine how mad you
pay me to say this shit. Imagine... It's different if they're paying me, man, but shit, I'm paying them.
Imagine how mad he would be if that girl who dropped off his wings had eaten 5 and not just 4.
She probably did. That's probably what happened.
I was going to ask you a really important question. When she gave you her food, did she look hungry or did she look full?
She looked like Sherry Shepherd, so of course she looked hungry, even if she was full. All due respect to Sherry Shepherd, she's actually a very funny lady.
All right, for the sake of everyone involved here, I think we should start talking wrestling.
Yeah, no more chicken wings, please.
Yes, sir, we promised you a great gorgeous here tonight. Pretty classy, the maker of champions. Andre, the giant.
WrestleMania! Everyone has a
ladies and gentlemen, it is electric.
You are fine.
The champ is here.
Gentlemen, the reason I play that clip is because the ratings for Raw We're at an all-time low, all circumstances considered. And what does that even mean right now? Because the medium of television is consumed at such a, I don't know, such a cut-down rate from where it used to be, considering where the ratings were at their peak. And you have to allow to the factors of other means of watching things, whether it's Hulu or YouTube, et cetera, et cetera. So how do you react to the low ratings, and what does it really, really mean with the entire, you know, social media consideration?
Well, you know, Andrew, Mr. Tunney, you hear the statement or the phrase a lot. Excuse me. Numbers don't lie. I'm here to tell you that's a goddamn lie. Because for every stat or a statistic that you show me, I can find one that totally contradicts it. Or you know what I mean? Like, this is just what this is, man. You can make numbers mean whatever you want them to mean in order to fit your narrative. I try to come across as the voice of reason on these airwaves, and it's to my detriment because that's not where the money's at. The money is at being loud and polarizing, whether you're right or wrong. It doesn't really matter. So, like you said, Tony, in your intro, people are consuming content differently nowadays. It just is what it is. There's a lot of internet, whatever. There's just different ways people consume content. And yes, the raw ratings are down, but they're still, from all metrics, top five every evening in the cable statistics. So when people say the numbers are down, it's one of those trying to poo-poo on the WWE type things. And yes, the numbers are down, but they're still top five every night that they're on cable television.
But
and
they,
again, yeah. Don't take it. Go ahead, PC. What are you
going
to say?
He's going to say did, what I was going to say. Do it, PC.
I was going to. I'm doing it nicely, asshole. You've already fucked that up.
We don't do nice here on Pod Is War, motherfucker. You should know that.
Well, then why don't you just go ahead and bury him?
If you read thechairshot.com, the good brother, Mr. Greg DeMarco, did his YouTube analysis and his ratings analysis, or no, his ratings analysis. YouTube is next, is later today. But apparently, Raw was outside of the top five for hour three. They finished fourth, fifth, and sixth, respectively, for each hour, mostly because basketball was on, and I think it was finished behind Love and Hip Hop Atlanta or something like that.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
It was outside the top five, man. Outside. It was sixth, man. The fucking sky is falling. Fucking, it's raining cats and dogs. Women and children are crying. Fucking monkeys and sheep are having sex. What are you going to do with sixth place, man?
Kiss my ass to you two and DeMarco. Shit, nobody watches
Mark off a spot. You're all ass, motherfucker.
Nobody watches hour three. And I'm talking about overall. I'm not doing the hourly, quarterly, minute by minute breakdown analysis of the situation. That's not what I do. I get on these airwaves and talk this shit. Shit. Gonna make me lose my spot. I was going somewhere. I was building up to a crescendo. Have you ever watched First Take? That's how Stephen A does. He starts slow and then he builds high. I was building.
Yeah, but Stephen A's good.
Fuck you. His partner's good too. What you think about that one, motherfucker? You see what I'm working with? I'm dragging ass here. I'm glad it's night and y'all the pips, goddammit.
How the fuck did I get involved in this shit?
Because you buried
me. I'll take this night train to Georgia and shove it straight up your ass.
I was trying to do it nicely, and Andrew was already there, so I'm like, well, in the interest of making this entertaining, go ahead and bury the motherfucker.
It was good. I liked it. It was fun.
Hold on, man. We're not going to skip past that. Andrew made it funny. He said, I'll take this midnight train to Georgia and shove it straight up your ass. That was good. Yeah, y'all can kiss my ass, but that was a good one. God damn, that might have been one of your best lines. But
and it only took a year and a half.
You know, you're the slow one in the family. Don't feel bad.
There's always got to be one.
That's okay, man. Go. I'll give you a Werther's original after the show.
Oh, that's well, good. My shoes are still Velcro, so thank you.
That's why they make helmets.
But, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, and you don't take into consideration that cable numbers are down across the board, period. I mean, cable itself is a giant medium. The only reason it hangs on is because of tradition and because the baby boomers watch a lot of TV. Trust me, I'm in care of a baby boomer. Them melon farmers watch a lot of fucking TV. That being said, why it's not woe is me, I guess the best comparison I can make is to Major League Baseball, because Major League Baseball has seen a huge decrease in their viewership as well, and it's been boiled down to the hardest of hardcore fans. But thanks to the TV rights deals, they're making money hand over fist and making more money than they've ever had in the history of their sport. And the exact same thing can be said for WWE. They boiled it down to the strictly hardcores, but they're making more money than they've ever made. So, you know, let's not use the ratings to poo-poo on WWE. You're planting a false narrative because you're trying to get clicks. I understand the game. You got to do something to get people to tune on to your website. So you got to do what you got to do. But that's not it. Now, conversely, the fact, and this is a fact, this is indisputable, however you say it, I don't give a fuck, that WWE's viewership numbers and fan base has consistently dwindled down for the last 18 years. So that says something. Now, is the sky falling? No, of course not. But they are trending backwards. So, I mean, it is what it is. So, I mean, two things can be right at the exact same time. You understand what I'm saying?
So you're telling me for the first time ever they dropped out of the top five or in a long time, et cetera, et cetera. It was six, and they were inside of it the other times. And you're also telling me
it was six for 1 hour, for the last hour that nobody watches. But go ahead,
then,
please. Don't let truth get in the way of your narrative.
And then at the same time, you're telling me that it really matters, like, you know, about outside of television and more about social media, right? When they have one of the largest followings in the entire globe as far as social media is concerned. So.
Yeah, but social media doesn't always equate to dollars. You know that. Melon farmers buy their friends all the time, man. Come on now.
Well, no, but it supports the point you were saying before about it.
They're still leading.
Consume media in different ways.
Yes.
And it's interesting because even if things are regressing in the States, you still see expansion elsewhere. You know, I doubt the people in Dubai or Saudi Arabia are going to watch fucking USA, but they're going to clue into YouTube, and they've got, what, the most YouTube followers of any, like, major sports entertainment kind of brand. So it's all how you want to, you know, shave it, so to speak.
Plus WWE has a Dubai exclusive show called Humana Humana Humana. So they're watching Humana 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 every
All right, I didn't want to interrupt you, but then if you're going to do that, I don't mind. there should be a Nielsen rating, not for, you know, that's television rating, but how about like an overall consumption rating, right? Not just for WWE, but for things in general, like television, social media, YouTube, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera,
no,
right?
You're completely right there. And the biggest false narrative that came from this whole ordeal, if we wish to call it that, is people were citing that the inaugural January 4th Monday night episode of Impact back in 2010 apparently had higher viewership numbers than Raw did this past Monday. So they're trying to make it seem like, well, this is the first time Impact ever had more viewers at any historical point than Raw, which is such a moronic fallacy. I can't even fathom why people think that's an argument. Back in 2010, let's think 2010. Blockbuster was still a thing because they were going into bankruptcy to protect their brand. Netflix was still a fucking mail order DVD video game system and just started kind of delving into streaming. Hulu was only around for 2 or 3 years, and I think 2010 was the first time they actually turned 2 quarters worth of fucking profit. So we are in a completely different, separate way of consuming media and everything. It's nearly 10 years later, and the world is different. You can't be like, back in 2010 this happened. Who gives a fuck back in 2010, you didn't have easily streamed services. You didn't have fucking Amazon Prime in 2010. Sure, eBay existed in 1997, but nobody really fucking used it to the degree they do back, like, now or the last 10 years. It's not one-to-one. You can't just go, there's this number in space. That's why whenever you get money and whenever you have sales, people adjust for inflation because they realize the world changes and values of things change. So why the fuck is the wrestling community so narrow-minded and tunnel vision and brain dead when it comes down to these are the cold hard facts, we see a number and you can't fuck with math? Yeah, but this is 10 fucking years ago and the same shit wasn't available. Shit, we had Blackberries 10 years ago. You couldn't watch this shit on fucking your phone. So what, why, what in the blue hell do people think this is a good comparison? Platt, do you have anything aside from their retards?
You literally took the words out of my mouth. I just was trying hard not to use that word, but it was literally on the tip of my tongue. I mean, think about how antiquated the whole Nielsen thing is to begin with. I mean, they're test driving driverless cars right now, and we're still dependent on some fuck stick from who gives a fuck Ohio in the middle of nowhere with a goddamn box next to his television to tell us who's watching what. So yeah, I don't take a whole lot of stock in the ratings, although there is, like I said earlier, there is something to be said about the fact that their audience has dwindled consistently year after year for the previous 18 years. Like, that's something. That's, if you want to paint a narrative, that's something to look at. But the sky is not falling. And there are people that bring that up, but it's, yo, the answer is in the middle, man. Like, the sky is certainly not falling, but they do need to do something to bring on new fans. I mean, their average viewer is 50 years old.
Let me ask this question to you mainly, Platt, and Tony, if you want to chime in, be my guest. But USA Nielsen numbers are for the, you know, continental US, maybe Canada gets it too. I don't exactly know how far it reaches. We know because of the simple fact, at least in the last year, definitely, WWE has gone to Australia and they have no real issue selling that out. They go to Dubai, and regardless of how the politics are in Dubai, they sell that out. Saudi Arabia, same thing. There's a lot of people that consume it. We are on forums and, you know, groups, the, you know, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. You see all of these foreign fans, some or just kind of new-ish to the internet, or, you know, things have just opened up in their country because of whatever reason. So if you've got argument 3 million people watching in India and they're watching the abbreviated version through YouTube or Hulu or whatever, and you've got an assortment of other people in other countries, that's a larger fan base. It's just something that we as like Americans and the Nielsen Report don't account for, because we're stuck in our own little bubble of this is America and there's less Americans that watch it, so it's obviously failing because America.
Can I ask you a question back in volley here? How long have the ratings kind of been in this decline, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera?
Since there was no competition, really.
Yeah, since the Monday Night Wars ended.
Okay. here's another question. How much are the new contracts with NBC Universal and Fox worth?
$150.
Yeah. And 32 cents. And I rounded up. I equated for, inflation.
Yeah, inflation.
six billion, right?
Something like that, yes.
Okay. Yep. That's really the end of this discussion.
Come on. You go into it a little deeper than money, Mike.
Okay. Let me play devil's advocate here then.
Shoot.
Okay. WCW, their highest revenue grossing year was 1998. But by 1998, the wheels had been fell off the wagon. You know what I mean? So,
no, I know. I watched it from jump. So
now 6 billion can cure a lot of ails. I'm not saying, you know, they're going out of business in a few, you know, in a few years, nothing like that. I mean, hell, they're going to sell within the next 5 to 10 years anyway, so none of this matters. But I'm just saying.
I did appreciate how you got in your little hypothesis from a week or two ago that they were going to sell to Disney or whatever it was that you said. So I like how you're sticking true to your guns, buddy.
Yeah, that's why I don't think they give a shit, man. I think they're going to cash out and get all they can right now and then dump it on somebody else, and it's somebody else's problem. But one other thing, though, I wanted to say is I was talking to my good friend Hillbilly Jim, and I was asking him because, you know, he was around in the initial boom period of the 80s, and I was asking him, I said, Jim, do you think that it can ever, talking about the wrestling industry, do you think that it can ever get back to where it was, you know, in your day? And he said no. And the reason he said no is because it's impossible, because there's just so many other options and avenues of entertainment now that it's impossible to galvanize that large of an audience anymore. Which he's absolutely right.
Yeah, I have no argument to that. He's right. You're right. That's kind of what we've been saying. So it's a solid take.
Yes. Shout out to my good friend Hillbilly Jim. Don't go messing with a country boy. Anywho, that being said, speaking of television, we'll be right back after these messages.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Woo! Gentlemen, we're going to stick along the lines of WWE and people leaving, people trying to leave, and, you know, that's kind of the subject matter here. Dean Malenko out, Luke Harper being held in. Expand, expound, explain, drop some knowledge.
And exfoliate.
Yeah, I couldn't come up with another always one. Exfoliate. Damn it, I always tried.
Y'all really do need to exfoliate, though, man. Especially you white guys, man. Y'all don't age well, so exfoliation would do you well.
Thank you.
Listen, I'm always
trying. I always love the beauty tips and the fashion.
Listen, I wash my face multiple times a day. In addition, I do moisturize every morning.
Well, what do you use? And you don't use regular soap on your face, do you? And you also use a different washcloth for your face than your balls, right?
I don't use any washcloths.
I forgot. Yeah, I'll just take the bar of soap and just lather yourselves up with it, which I don't.
I don't do that.
Ring around your penis, man. That's
I don't do that either. I don't have a bar of soap. Man. I don't have a loofah. I don't have a bar of soap.
So what? Do you use wet naps, motherfucker? Hold on, balls. What the fuck, man?
This is more interesting than the fucking question. How do you clean your balls, buddy?
Jesus, what the fuck are you using over there? What? You take a whore bath? Like, do you throw some spit up in the air and then drop your balls underneath it or something? Like, what's going on, man? What are we doing here? How do you clean yourself?
Let me break this down. Explain yourself. When you go to the sink and wash your hands, do you use anything besides your hands to wash your hands?
Oh, so you basically just jerk yourself off.
Do you use your balls to wash your balls? What the fuck is this?
He basically just masturbates with water and soap and calls it cleansing himself. All right, cool.
I mean, some people use lotion, but there are some nice-smelling soaps, so I can understand.
Why? No, Tony's multitasking. Balls, he's multitasking, sir.
They're not even blackmailing me to do this. I voluntarily do this every week. And, you know, I don't know why.
That's why he doesn't have any washcloths, because he's too busy using them to clean up the other thing.
That's better than I thought, though, because typically, you know, I go to my white friends' houses and their bars of soap looks like a big fucking fur ball. So,
true.
But a couple washcloths wouldn't kill you, Teddy.
I thought we had moved on from this.
All right. Whatever the question was, Andrew.
Unless you want to keep talking about it.
Yeah.
Why don't you bring it up on Twitter and see how many people disagree with you?
Well, that's not fair, man. There's more white people in America.
So bring it up on regular Twitter and black Twitter and see how the responses differ.
Yes, hashtag two Americas.
There we go. So, yeah, Malenko, okay. I don't really care about that. Like, I don't really know what he added to the show, because when it comes down to the agents that produce kind of thing, everybody ends up running it through Vince. Vince is the final say. Who gives a fuck? I mean, maybe he's going to go to AEW. Maybe that's more his speed anyway, because it's more ring-based, and Malenko never had much of a personality that we remember, but he was fucking awesome in the ring. Don't get me wrong.
Oh,
but
God damn, he was.
He had no fucking personality. That's why the Iceman gimmick was perfect, because he just had to scowl and not talk, because that was his best thing. But when it comes to Harper, shit. Like, petty or not, He signed a contract. He knows how long it's for. He knows where it's supposed to take him. He requested a release. And the best thing about a request is it's a question. You can answer that with a yes or no. WWE said no. And they also said, bitch, you've been hurt a lot. So you owe us some of that injury time, too. So whatever. Like, everybody wants to cry foul like they did for Neville and how it's not fair because he wants to wrestle. Well, he signed a contract. Own up. Be a man. You know what you signed up for. Fucking deal with it.
What the hell happened to you? All of a sudden you become an accountant and you're fucking Lord Barrington the Third in this motherfucker. What the fuck is wrong with you, man?
Did I become an accountant? Is this like just a gimmick change that I decided to do last year? I'm like, now I'm an accountant.
I'm just saying, man. I mean, everything you said is absolutely right. He signed the contract. You're getting paid. Suck it up. Yada, yada.
Let's go live to the field to Mr. Christopher Platt with Lord Barrington the Third.
But no, everything you said is correct, man. He signed a contract. He's getting paid. You know, yada, yada, yada. You got to be a man. You got to be an adult and put your big boy pants on. Yada, yada, yada. But come on, man. Let's not act like this ain't some bitch shit, man. Or this ain't petty as fuck, man. I mean, this dude, he clearly doesn't want to be there. He's damn near 40 years old. So not only are you not going to grant him his release from a place that he doesn't want to be, and you're clearly not using him or have no plans for him, but you're going to tack on some injury time, which, again, as a business, that's your right. You got a right to try to get a return on your investment. But you clearly have no plans for this Melon Farmer. He's pushing 40. So you're literally going to take a year off of his career when, let's face it, fellas, this Melon Farmer's on the back nine anywho. Like, Luke Harper's not going to be wrestling in 20 fucking years. And, you know, you always hear this narrative that people say, well, Vince doesn't like unhappy people around him. Well, hello. Hello, McFly. This Melon Farmer is not happy. Letting him go just because you think that somebody else, or he may go potentially to someplace else that can utilize him better than you can, you're not going to let this man go about his business and continue whatever little bit of career that he has left. That's petty as fuck, man. Like, come on, man. That's not, come on, man. Now, as far as the Malenko thing, you know, this is interesting because there's been a lot of turmoil and rumblings and rumor and innuendo, shout out to Uncle Bruce, about people being unhappy and, you know, this person left, that person left. And I'm sure that there's something going on there, and there might be a narrative that you can push or a narrative that can be derived from there. But at the same time, man, this shit ain't for everybody, man. Sometimes, it's a hard business, man. This shit is a grind. And sometimes people get onto the mothership and they realize it's not really what they signed up for or not what it's all cracked up to be. And they just want to go about their business, or they just get sick of it. Or some days sometimes they just say, fuck it. And it's time for a change. Like, that happens. That's the nature of this beast. I know people are going to push this narrative with AEW looming and yada yada yada, but sometimes people just get tired, man, and just want to leave and try something different. And that happens in all walks of life.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And just to be clear, yes, it's like, it's Richard Petty. That's how fucking petty this shit is when it comes to the Luke Harper thing,
man. This shit is Richard and Kyle, okay, and Tom, RIP. Come on, man.
But there's no heartbreakers involved. It's okay. So
I think Luke Harper's heart is broken, but you know.
No, he's just free falling. That's all it is.
At this point, he's shut up. At this point, he's probably so depressed he's taking his last dance with Mary Jane.
Maybe now, that's why he needed to owe him time. Because if you're dancing with Mary Jane, ask RVD how that turns out for you.
What, you mean a world title?
Yes. That's exactly what it is. But no, I mean, yeah, he's older, but again, it's not like he's not getting paid. For all we know, if he actually is just paid to sit on his ass, it might help him because he's been injury prone a lot. And like, we get that he's older, but he's gotten hurt 3 or 4 significant times in the last like 4 or 5 years. So maybe some time off isn't exactly going to be painful. And as we learned in the last couple weeks, we know Turner has a deal with AEW. AEW is on their radar. We don't know if it's I don't think we're officially know if it's TBS or TNT, but Vince knows there's a TV deal. Vince knows that, you know, good old Brody Lee is a big, you know, friend, and, you know, the AEW Bucks and Cody are all fans of his. So that would be a logical step. So the longer you can keep him away from possible competition, it's all a business move. And yes, it's petty, but we know Vince is petty. Vince's humor is sophomoric. And, you know, if we watched Raw, we definitely know where Vince's, you know, proclivities lie.
Well, money isn't everything, he said, ironically, knowing in the back of his head that he has none. You know, if I can go somewhere and make 75% of the money I was making, excuse me, I have less debts, I have more freedom, i.e. not just with my time, but also with my character. You know, that's not a bad deal. And maybe I can start a podcast. Maybe I can find other avenues to make that money up. Maybe I can start a podcast and sell some ads and stuff like that. Maybe I set up my own website on or own page on Pro Wrestling Tees and make up that money. Speaking of which, until Brody Lee or Luke Harper gets his page up on Pro Wrestling Tees, make sure you guys go to ours, which is at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot, and pick up your official Chair Shot merchandise. Please and thank you. Thank you. And please, again, we've got a lot of cool designs. We've got some really new designs that you all should check out. I personally recommend the Chair Shot 316 shirt. It's ironic, it's classic, it's iconic, and it's cool. You can wear that out and people are going to be like, hey, I like your shirt. And you'll be like, hey, back at you. Again, go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Please and thank you. Thank you. And please. And shout out to Brody Lee. I really loved him in Mallrats.
You tied that together nicely.
Thank you. I have my moments, man. Hey, you know, every now and again, man, when I'm sober, man, I'm and lucid, I can do this shit pretty well.
That's a hell of a combination we have to wait for, though.
So it's like Haley's got. I'm like, man.
Yeah, is the next one 4th of July, or we just never know when it's gonna happen? Except for the fun.
Oh, it definitely won't be 4th of July.
Yeah, it definitely ain't happening on 4th of July. Plus, my mother's gonna be here, and I gotta take her to fireworks, so I gotta get wasted to sit.
Well, I was gonna say you can't light fireworks off without drinking either.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do that, man. That just sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah, nobody needs to pull a Jason Pierre-Paul. Come on.
Nah, man. I got the permit. I love you up, but it's just because that's the only two fingers I have.
Or like hang loose.
Yeah, or to hang loose. Yeah, Jesus Christ. But yeah. I hate fireworks. She loves them. I don't understand. I hate them. I don't like loud sounds, frankly. But she loves them. She gets it. It's actually kind of cool to see. Like, I'd be real pissy and you know, about getting there and when I'm there, because it'd be hot and muggy and stuff. But to see her reaction, like, she literally, it's like watching a 70-year-old little kid. Like, that almost makes it worth it, because that's kind of cool.
People that really enjoy things make it easier for you to just tolerate it because you enjoy them enjoying it. So,
yeah.
See, even I can't always be a dick, you know.
Well, I don't know about that.
Okay, most of the time. I said not always. That's an indeterminate amount of time, though. Stop it. Next question.
Yeah, I just like that, so I'm just going to play that until they give me something that they actually put out on social media to, you know, preview anything.
What the fuck was that? Hey.
Super Kick Party!
Hey, and we don't want no trouble. We're here doing the Super Bowl Shuffle. Be elite. Ha-ha. That's what that sounds like to me.
You've never actually heard the Being the Elite theme song?
Apparently not. Like, I've watched clips of their YouTube show and stuff like that, but clearly I've never sat through the beginning of the show.
Yeah, that's kind of their whole thing. I think the Bucks' dad did, like, the little song, the Warriors Cry thing, that they play through a lot of it, but that the Elite thing is something they've done forever. That's why the crowd chants it.
Hey, young Bucks, I don't mean to be rude, but you probably shouldn't eat spoiled food. Spoiled food. Be the Elite,
That was better.
What's the question, Sonny? This is going nowhere fast.
Cody.
It's going nowhere fast. When you get that question, that's your ass. That's your ass. That's your ass. The Elite.
You know, I wish I was as deaf as Jim McMahon was blind, and that would make this so much easier to deal with.
I'm not blind, but I wish I was deaf. And if I was, I'd name myself Jeff. My name's Jeff.
My name is Jeff, and I'm a blind ref. I don't get calls right all night. Well, the topic is, yeah, Cody said something about somebody. He's going to wrestle somebody. Talk about it.
Oh, do they happen to be related? Like, two different roads, well-traveled?
Jeff and Matt are wrestling?
Jeff and Matt? No, Jeff is broken. Wrong Jeff. Just because your name is Jeff and you're the black rep, what are we talking about?
They gave up the tag titles.
Was that your attempt at...
Which definitely wasn't tonight.
No, I just went with what was actually said already. I'm not actually trying to... You know, the Bucks are... The Jacksons are Nick and Matt, not Jeff and Matt. That's the Hardys.
Not Marlon and Tito?
No, not Latoya and Janet either. Well, even though, real talk, Latoya was on that Masked Singer show. A month or so ago, and she was like the alien. Damn, with the mask on, like that body is still pretty nice for being like 60-something. Like, Latoya's put together a lot better than I thought she would be.
Well, number one, you bring up the Jacksons and aliens. There's a joke there that I'm just not going to – my blackness won't allow me to go there. But
don't reach red. Stop it.
What was the – wait. What was the title last week?
His blackness won't let him sign it.
That's a shoot, brother.
But you know who's supposed – the big match that kind of – actually got me to give a fuck about Double or Nothing and AEW. Wow.
It wasn't not the Bucks and the Lucha Brothers, not Jericho and Omega. It was Gold Dust versus Stardust. That's the one that got you moist.
I've seen Omega and Jericho. Why do I need to see it? Like, it was nothing new to me. Bucks and Lucha Brothers we've seen in AAA, or at least I have. So, like, Dust and Cody is different because it's not Stardust and Gold Dust. It's not WWE minimal, you know, move set type thing. It's whatever they want to make of it. So there's a lot of intrigue there, to me at least.
I'm talking shit, man, and just giving you a hard time. I'm also excited about seeing that match. I really wish, because I guess previously what we had heard, the scuttlebutt, was that Dustin really wanted to work a program with Cody and have that be the Mania match, and they missed their shot. Because you guys remember, what was that? Was that, what, 14 or 15? When they brought Dustin, Cody, and even brought Dusty in, and the Rhodes guys were the hottest act in the entire company? What was that?
Oh, yeah, because they had to fight to keep to stay in the company or something like that.
Yeah.
On Dusty and Dustin, and I think Cody was the last one that had to win whatever match that was.
Yeah. And they had
a tag team
match versus a couple of members of the Shield. Like, they were hot as fish grease at that time.
They were. You're right. And then I think it was the subsequent Royal Rumble or 2 years later, Stardust eliminated Goldust after their tag team title run fissured. And that was what you were talking about, where Dustin wanted a singles match against Cody, and it never really, you know, turned into anything.
So, I mean, okay, well, first and foremost, man, how big of a get is Dustin Rhodes for AEW? Let's talk about that for starters. I mean, one of the most underrated workers of the past 20 years. I'll say 25, 30 years. One of the most underrated workers, point blank, period. I think we can all agree on that. And the fact that he was able to get that Goldust character over, that speaks to exactly what it is that I'm saying. He's been in the business forever. He grew up in the business. He knows the business inside and out. And that's a very valuable OG to have on your side. Especially if, I don't know the inner workings of their relationship, but they are brothers, and if there's not any resentment there or anything like that, you can't have a better person in your team or on your team or in your circle than your older brother. Like, that point, period. That's just what it is. So, yeah, that's a hell of a get for AEW, because I'm sure he's going to be working backstage in some capacity as well. As far as the match itself, yeah, that's cool. This is what they've always wanted, and the fact that they get it, that's awesome, and I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah. I agree with everything you said, and I think the thing that we forget, because it's 2019 and it seems so far away, is that my timeline could be slightly askew, but Goldust debuted in what, 94, 95? So
was 95.
But you know you know what I mean. Whole androgynous guy acting like a chick and rubbing up on people, like, that was not something that people were even marginally accepted of.
No, that's why it was such a heel magnet. Like, yes. Kiss smelling farmers and shit. Like, and he went there with it.
And he had the lingerie on underneath, too. Yeah, and it was just, it was beautiful character work.
Yeah, if he wasn't all in, pun intended, it wasn't going to work. That's kind of what happened with Fandango. Like, that, I still maintain that character had legs, but he wasn't all in with it. But Goldust was, and that's why that character became the icon that it is today.
Agreed. So going back to the initial question you posed about how much of a get is Goldust, it depends on how you look at it. From a smart mark, hardcore fan kind of perspective like we have, it's huge because we know who Dustin is. We know who the Rhodes family is. We know how big of a deal this is. And the fact that we also know a little bit of the history where, because Dustin's like 16, 17 years older than Cody, like, they weren't really close. It wasn't really like a super loving relationship because Cody was kind of brought up with the silver spoon in his mouth when Dusty was already rich, and Dustin had to work for it a little harder, and he was more blue collar. So they grew up completely differently. Dustin was old enough to be his father, basically. And it's an interesting dynamic. So from that we know about all this is awesome. This is a great built-in storyline that nobody even has to try for. You just put Dustin and Cody together, and we're all inventing our own amount of weight to how this story could progress. Casual fans, nah, not so much. They're going to see it as, well, Goldust only made it to Intercontinental Championship. He's been a perennial mid-carder. He was a joke for a while. But then again, AEW is also not really aiming towards the casual market at the moment. So for the crowd and who's interested in Double or Nothing and Fighter Fest and whatever the one in Jacksonville is called, it's escaping me at the moment. But like that kind of crowd, gonna eat this shit up easy. Just spoon feed them, and it's gonna be a fucking full day.
Can I tell a quick story? I promise I'll try to make it quick.
No, nope.
Go for it.
Who asked you, Tony? So, circa around 4 years ago, okay?
Circa 4 years.
It's a easy breezy. Thank you. It's an easy breezy. Okay, stop talking, please. It's an easy breezy Sunday morning. And I'm taking it easy like Sunday morning. About 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. And we're still asleep. We're still in Arizona. A much simpler time. I'm sitting back Sunday morning smoking a blunt, waiting for Amber to arise. Flipping through the television channels. I don't typically watch TV, but for some reason, I like to turn the television on Sunday mornings, even though I know nothing's on. I don't know. Don't ask. And I'm flipping, And lo and behold, oh, what's this I see? That's Mr. T. So I sit there, and because Mr. T was there, that caused me to stop and put down the remote and watch what he was doing. And because and the weed might have been involved as well. But because I saw Mr. T, I damn near fucked around and bought a Flavor Wave oven. You know what I mean? Like, but you
it was infomercial time. I get you. Okay.
But you understand what I'm saying. That's why they do that. And that's why this is a get for AEW if they do decide to put him on television. Because it might be a lapsed wrestling fan just randomly flipping the channels on a random ass July. When, you know, before baseball really gets popping, but there's no other sports on, and you're just flipping the channels looking at something, and, oh, Tuesday night, TNT. Hey, I know that guy. That was Goldust. What's he doing? You understand what I'm saying? And that might, it's enough to draw somebody in. Like, you got to start somewhere, and it's good to have names that people recognize, at least initially, to try to get some sort of footing or some sort of fan base. That's why Ice Cube's big three, man. They've got Ron Artest, or Metta World Peace rather, Al Harrington, Iverson was on a squad for a minute. Like, they have names that you are familiar with. So then, if you know, it'll at least get the casuals to tune in initially. Now they got to hook them and keep them, but it at least will get somebody through the door. You dig?
Oh, definitely, especially since, to keep it wrestling related, New Japan did the same thing. New Japan, the first Access TV show they had when they were in LA, Billy Gunn was challenging Tanahashi for the Intercontinental Championship because household name. As soon as Jericho showed up over there to face Omega for the US title, that got a lot of people just to buy into Wrestle Kingdom just because they knew Jericho. So you're completely right. The whole throw in a household name, a household face kind of thing, and you're sold. Granted, this version of Gold Dust, Dustin, Black Rain, whatever he's calling himself, has red and black paint, so I don't know if he's going to come up with a new character or if it's just going to be Dustin. But like I said, I'm intrigued. As soon as I saw that promo video, I was hooked, and I'm kind of excited now that there's a match that I've actually got a little bit of, I don't know, personal, emotional weight, bias, whatever you want to call it. So it's
wow.
Good stuff.
Wow. Andrew brought up New Japan. I haven't been this surprised since KO turned on the New Day.
Hey, you know, Kofi said he wanted to give people a chance. So are you buying into POP, not just your pop counter catchphrase, but power of positivity, buddy? Are you?
Hey, man, this is a shoot, brother. Lord knows I'm trying. I really am. Because I do see how attitude determines your latitude. Like, I really, truly, firmly believe that it's
is
just
that one
life
of your platitudes?
So goddamn pop. Real quick, though, before we move on to topic number four, man, there is something that I wanted to say. Is that there's this weird dichotomy in the world of wrestling right now. On what?
Sorry, that was a little late.
That was completely
start over. Completely so start over. So it sounds good. So say there's one thing I wanted to say. Do it for me, huh?
Okay, what do I need to say?
Just where you were. You're like, there's just one thing I need to say.
Okay. All right. So, but before we move on to the next topic, there's just one more thing I need to say.
This is my yard now.
See, that's funny.
There's this weird dichotomy within the world of wrestling happening right now. On one hand, you've got these diehards that think that AEW is the greatest thing since sliced bread, and they've literally come here to be the Jesus Christ of the wrestling world. Jesus did the job at Pro Wrestling Tees.
I knew it.
But there's, you know, and they think that they're here to take down the evil empire known as the WWE. And they're going to bankrupt the WWE and finally vanquish the WWE on the Game of Thrones side of the game. And then on the other end, you have these people that want to poo-poo on the entire idea of AEW before these melon farmers even run a show. And I just want to say, I'm sick of both you melon farmers, man. You know what I mean? Like, why does everything got to be so goddamn polarizing nowadays? Like, you know, two things can be right at the exact same time. You can have two rights. As a matter of fact, everybody should go out and get a book called The Kabbalion. You can find it on Amazon literally for $4.99. They talk about that. Every truth is but a half truth. You dig what I'm saying? So, like, there can be more than one right and correct answer. I just hate the dichotomy because both of those fan bases are completely insufferable.
There can be, but you realize that one begets the other. It's a lot like in politics where one extreme begets the other extreme. So you have all these people that are just harping on AEW being the second come WCW. Finally, there's going to be competition when they haven't run a fucking any kind of show, and they're literally just a T-shirt company at the moment. And people already because. I'm in a few of the Facebook wrestling groups, and there's people that already cite AEW as their favorite wrestling promotion. And it's that kind of hyperbolic thinking that begets the people that just turn on it. So when somebody is so much of a fan of something that it becomes irritating, people are going to want to just shut them up and say, no, it's fucking garbage. Now, everybody, you can like whatever the fuck you want to like. Don't get me wrong. But once you get to that point of like just spastic fandom that you start going to that next level where everything you say is hyperbolic, everything's in a vacuum, everything is just this is the best and there's no other repercussion or no other way of looking at it, then people are just going to be like, no, you're a moron, and anybody who agrees with you is a moron, thus creating that other extreme. So if people could just maybe rein it in a little bit and be a little more pragmatic and understand, let's give AEW a little bit of room to build a story, build a roster, build a fucking show, build something, you know, that makes sense and it's continuous outside of being the elite, then we judge them. Don't go into, because I like these five people, suddenly it's the best thing in the fucking world. Ah! Like, that's just, your people are going to fucking hate you.
Well, see, I'm not going to let the other side off the hook quite as easy as you, but you know what? You're absolutely right. But you know what? That's why your grandkids are going to be speaking Mandarin, so suck my dick. Next question.
Before we move on to the next question, Andrew Belaz has said the word hyperbolic three times in one episode, therefore making it our Firefly Funhouse word of the day.
Yay!
That's H-Y-P-E-R bolic, hyperbolic, folks.
It's the hyperglycemic lion tamer. What?
Somebody get that man a tub.
The chase for the best wrestling on television is over.
Amazing!
Because Impact has taken over Pursuit and Twitch.
Phenomenal!
2019 is going to be bigger.
Oh!
And better than ever.
Don't blink or you might have missed something spectacular. Every week.
It's time to come back and watch what everyone is talking about. Don't miss Impact. This Friday at 10, exclusively on Pursuit and Twitch.
You know, I usually don't give it much credence or do any, you know, prior, you know, planning on how I'm going to ask these kind of questions. I'm usually indifferent for Impact. So, but for this week and return of Impact being on Pod is War, are you guys ready?
Uh-huh.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Topic number four. Impact. You guys talk about it.
You swerved us. Good job. Well.
You know what, Andrew? We.
Uh-huh.
I think we need to get one of them drones or them bots or something like that. And because if he's not going to bring any personality to the situation, why the fuck is he here?
I mean, it's just, we know he's got this built-in disdain for Impact Wrestling. So I can't fault him. That's the worst part. Like, I was the biggest fan of TNA in 06 moving forward. I fell off for a couple years because it got that bad that even I couldn't pretend to like it. So if people have been burned enough times, it's hard to get behind a product regardless of how good it is. You know what I mean?
Okay, so maybe I'm coming at it from a different angle because I missed a lot of TNA's glory years. I just, you know, I didn't have access to it and I didn't have the desire to watch it. I would check in every now and again because they had names that I knew, but I wasn't that big into it. But I wish I could watch it more now because what wrote me into TNA was the Broken Saga. And TNA is a damn good product, man. It is what it is. It's a little low budget, you know, not a lot of production value and shit like that. But if you're able to get over that, there's a lot of good talent there, and they tell really good stories. Like that goddamn storyline, that vignette that Tessa Blanchard did when she went to Gail Kim's husband's restaurant and
oh, yeah,
gonna ask. That yeah, shit was great, man. That's wrestling.
No,
and
it's fighting,
you know what I mean?
And yeah, was the best thing about Rebellion, the pay-per-view that just happened, was it tied in a lot of the stories. Like, it's the thing that WWE has done a lot better lately, but people were complaining about for a while, and that the story progression is not logical, or the match finish isn't logical, or how it plays out. Like Tessa Blanchard versus Gail Kim was a banger. Like, there was a couple missed points here or there, but then again, I'm not even gonna harp on it. No. Listen. There was a couple missed points, but then again, Gail came out of retirement. She's fresh out of retirement. It plays into the story, and it didn't hurt the flow of the match. It didn't hurt shit. The fact that Tessa kicked out of an Eat Defeat was fantastic because I mean, I can't remember the last person that kicked out of Eat Defeat, aside from maybe Awesome Kong, but Awesome Kong was also like three times Gale size. So, you know, like it was such a fantastic match. And Lucha Bros LAX, that was a spot fest and then some. And there was some botched moments, and I mean that not from a Meltzer perspective, but from when Phoenix is trying to do a Spanish fly, a springboard Spanish fly from the top rope through tables, and then he doesn't rotate all the way because his foot got caught in like a ladder rung or something like that, so he does a fucking headbutt dive into the fucking ramp, and Ortiz still goes through the table. That looks bad. You know what I mean?
Can we retire the Spanish fly? I'm just sick of seeing it because everybody does it now.
It's getting used way too much now. But the big story that came from Rebellion was Brian motherfucking Cage, the Machine, finally gets a fucking world title. Lucha Underground didn't put it on him. Impact wasn't putting it on him. Even though I loved it 2 years ago when he had his match in Pro Wrestling Noah against Katsuhiko Nakajima, they didn't put the GHC title on him, and it was a fucking fantastic match.
Wait, wait, wait. Did you say the THC title?
G-H.
So, shout out to Brad Cage winning the THC title. I think probably go to Rob Van Dam, but whatever.
That would go to Rob Van Dam. We know that. But it was a decent match. Granted, we found out the reason why it's slugged in some spots, but Lance Storm's involvement was fantastic. The storyline beats with the heel shit was good. But the big thing that came from him winning was A, Michael Elgin debuted, which that's divisive, so we can talk about that. And B, he apparently injured his back during the Spanish fly, again, that move that we're both kind of sick of, from the ramp, which was elevated out to the ringside area, whatever we want to call it, the floor. And it fucked him up something weird, and he just wasn't right through the rest of the match. So, did you read up on this? Do you have any feelings about either the injury or Michael Elgin's wonderfully divisive personality being in Impact Wrestling now?
Hot take alert. Are you ready for it?
Hot takes. Go. I got the
Nick
griddle.
Cage.
Ooh, Nick Cage. That's going down, down, baby. Yo, street with the hot
Brian
take.
Cage. Nick Cage is a totally different person.
Street sweeper, baby. Let's like ready. Let it
Cage.
Go.
That's my point.
Fine.
He doesn't do it for me. Like, he's got a tremendous look. You know, he's got a great story, too. You know, spending time in the joint and coming out and doing something with his life. Great story. And it also legitimizes him as a badass. And if I had a wrestling promotion just for the optics alone, I might put the belt on Brian Cage as well. Like, just he looks like he should be somebody's world champion. You know, but he doesn't do it for me, man. He doesn't make me moist whatsoever. I'm not a fan. I'm sorry.
What is it that you don't like about him? Just curious.
I don't know. I just don't.
Because he's got all the power moves. Wrestler. He's got high flying stuff too. He's a pretty solid wrestler.
He just doesn't do it for me, man. Like, there's certain wrestlers. You know how it is, man. There's just certain wrestlers where you can't really pinpoint it, but they just don't do it for you.
Oh no, that I wasn't sure if there was like just something that stuck out as he's a shit promo, because he's not a great promo.
There's a lot of guys
behemoth that talks kind of like me, and it's like it doesn't work. It's just like you're like I expect a deeper voice. Like I expect Loki's voice to come out of that man.
Kind of like Matt Morgan.
I love Loki, man. He sounds like a old school one of them kung fu flicks. But I mean, I'm far from me to shit on anybody's lack of promo ability. I mean, my favorite in ring wrestler right now is Rick O'Shea. So how am I going to talk shit about anybody's in ring promo ability? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't. Okay, go.
No, I have no leg to stand on there. He just doesn't do it for me. And there's a few guys like, you know, or and women for that matter. Like, they're good wrestlers. There's nothing conceivably wrong with them. They just don't make me moist. I don't see money in them, or for whatever reason, they're just not my particular cup of tea, and he's on the top of that list for me. But again, it's a good look. He looks like he should be somebody's world champion, and if Impact is trying to get some sort of footing or relevance in the wrestling world, you know, he's made a tremendous name for himself on the indies. That's not a bad way to go. It's unfortunate that he got injured now, so I don't know how they're going to play that. I know, Andrew, before the show started, you talked about how he was not involved in the latest round of TV tapings. So, I guess we'll just see how that plays itself out. But it's unfortunate that he finally was going to get his push and his run, and he got hurt. That sucks.
The good thing that comes from what I've read, at least, I don't know if Impact's going to take a different angle with it because I didn't read spoilers from today, but it seems like it was a muscle contusion, bone bruise type thing, which just left that tingly feeling in his body, and that doctors don't think there's any kind of fracture or like significant break. So maybe a month or a couple weeks of just bed rest will be enough to kind of get him at least to TV. Maybe not anything like heavy confrontationally, but you know, just something to get him to TV, and then he can play a part into it so they don't have to strip him of the title. Because his look, I agree with you, the look, I like his ability, his the way that he can fly like a cruiserweight when he's such a sculpted behemoth of a dude. Like, he's as big as Bobby Lashley almost, and he flies around like Ricochet to a degree. So it's one of those just things you don't see often. And Elgin is a fun part. How do you feel about Elgin? Because I know everybody's got their own feelings about him.
Honestly, I'm going to kind of bury myself here, but I haven't seen enough of his work to even have a valid opinion on it.
Oh, well, most people's opinion doesn't come from his work, because he's a solid hand in the ring. He's a big hoss motherfucker, but he's got some ability. But everybody's opinion comes from, you remember that drama that came out about the female wrestling student that he basically wrote off as a whore, and it was like this giant
shaming. Yeah, that was him. I forgot about that.
Yes, cheating on his wife for something. It was a big kind of ordeal.
Well, was she a whore?
I mean, according to him and the guy he was talking to, they wrote it off like, oh, she slept with other people. How do we know this is real? And then, so he basically dismissed what she said as just bullshit because she's been with other people. And it just made him look like a dickish frat boy kind of guy.
Douche. Yeah. Because even if a woman is a whore, man, if, you know, there's allegations out there, just because she's given it up willingly and willy-nilly to others doesn't mean that somebody didn't take it. You know what I mean? Or take it upon themselves.
I think part of the problem is he also maybe not took it from her, but he got things from other students. So there's that whole impropriety in the bedroom when it came because he's married. So it's just, in general, he's just a giant asshole. It just makes him look a big douchebag cheating on his wife, writing this person off as, you know, slut shaming, whatever you want to call it.
It's wrestling, though.
I agree with you.
It's wrestling. Like I had this conversation. I did a joint show with my man Ray Cash and Kyle from Outsider's Edge. The morning of WrestleMania, and they brought this up in terms of because apparently neither one of them really likes Enzo as a person. And I was telling them, I'm like, fellas, it's the wrestling business. If you got rid of every shitty motherfucker that was in it, that would be getting rid of like 85% of the business, and there would be no wrestling business. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't
and I'm not to co-sign him because, again, man, I'm speaking out of school here a little bit because I'm not that – I'm vaguely familiar with the whole situation. So I don't want to make it seem like I'm coming from a place of authority, which, again, is another reason why I'm not over more, because I'm honest about those sort of things, my biases. And when I don't know something, I just don't talk with authority like I know what the fuck I'm talking about. You know what I mean? But yeah, but I mean, I don't know, man. I'm not. If the things went down the way it went down, he does sound like a shitty dude. I'm not the moral police. If you want to mess around on your wife or whatever, that's none of my business. That's between you and her. That has nothing to do with me. But, fellas, don't be out here taking pussy. That's the bottom line. Like, regardless of anything else that we've said in this topic, fellas, don't be out here taking pussy, man. That's not cool. That's not cool at all.
Let's just tie this up in a nice bow because you brought up Enzo. So let's bring up to our favorite line from his rap song. We're always about that consensual penis. You don't take pussy. It's got to be consensual.
Indeed. And even if there's a flicker of, I'm not sure, just let it ride. Or fuck, do what I do. Ask. You'd be surprised how far you get if you just ask. Trust me, my career is a testament to that. And my penis is going to Cooperstown, fellas.
Motherfuckers need, you know, self-confidence to just straight up ask. That's why most motherfuckers don't, because they're just giant bitches that can't fucking get past themselves.
Bruh, you think I haven't struck out? There's been plenty of nights I went home and played the solo piccolo. But
yeah, but when you're swinging a bat like you're gonna hit something, buddy.
It's not the bat, bro. It's the how can I put this? It's the technique. It ain't the bat. It's the technique. I'm just like really.
So it's not a Jose Canseco bat.
No, man. I'm more like Ichiro.
Oh, you're just consistent. You get that contact.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that, Mr. 3000.
Or, you know, Wade Boggs or something like that. Like, I'm, yeah, I'm pretty consistent. Like, I'm
that was,
you know, I do my study. I'm a student of the game, man. Like, I study. I know when to pick my spots, and, you know, I know what I'm doing. So, yeah.
Proud of you.
Hey, I'm just saying, man. Paid for
by the following. I'm interrupting you with you.
Visit thechairshot.com. Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Whether or not you can tell by listening to this podcast, I do think these two gentlemen are highly intelligent, and I do respect both of their opinions.
Oh, that's nice. No,
now shut the fuck up while I ask the question.
No. You don't get to talk, goddamn, because this, though, yo, we were, I mean, in our own sick, twisted sort of way, we were actually giving a PSA, a very powerful PSA, and you cut us off.
Yeah, we were actually on kind of the same page for a change here. That's so perfect. It's so perfect because she used to just interrupt shit. So this is just goddamn.
I'm playing the whole thing. Now, whether or not you listen to this show, I do think these two gentlemen are very intelligent, and I do very much so respect their opinion. So I will just start this topic off as such. Does Lacey Evans curry favor with the two of you?
Oh, yeah. Lacey is fantastic. Like, how can you dislike a woman with her pedigree with the sassy Southern belle and the Marine background? Like, there's just, she is everything that you could possibly want. She's a tough chick. She can cook you something at home. She'll take care of the family, and she could defend herself. She doesn't need a man to defend her. So that's fantastic.
Lacey is a phenomenal heel. She really is. I got an opportunity to see her in January when she was still on the NXT roster, and we went to the NXT house show, and she's a heat magnet. Granted, I mean, that was the hardest of the hardcore fans that were in attendance in that arena, but she did a really great job of working the crowd, and she has it. Whatever it is, she's got it. It's a little soon to be putting her in the title picture because I feel like there's a lot of women on that roster, but at the same point in time, you got to interject some new blood into there somewhere, somehow, so I get it. And she has the look that WWE goes cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs over. So I have no doubt in my mind that she's going to be a star. Andrew, let me ask you this, because it appears now that Becky Two Belts, which I seem to like that moniker a lot more than most. I think it's kind of cool. It takes me back to like some Goodfellas shit or something, like, you know, Nikki Two Chains or whatever, or Mick Two Times or whatever. But I like that moniker more than most. But what do you think is going to happen at Money in the Bank? Because Becky is defending both of her titles. I'm assuming that this is a way to get one of those titles off of her. And I'm assuming the one that's going to get off of her is the SmackDown title. And we're going to go into SmackDown on Fox with Queen Charlotte as, you know, reigning supreme. But what do you think is going to happen? And what do you think about the whole Becky Two Belts thing and everything they got going on?
I mean, I don't mind Becky Two Belts as a moniker. Don't get me wrong. And
two belts.
Say that again. Right. Say that again for the really, like, you're from New Jersey. Say that again like you're from New
belts,
Jersey.
Two belts.
Hey, No. Exactly the same words you just said, Balls, but like you're from New Jersey.
You know, I don't have a problem with, you know, Becky Two Belts. Is that where we're going?
What part of New Jersey is that? Is that the Iranian part of New Jersey? What the fuck? You sound like the Iron Sheik, dude.
Hey, daddy, you know.
Yeah, fuck the Becky Two Belts. Fuck the Becky Two Belts.
I fuck the Becky Two Belts and the Hulk Hogan. Fuck me.
The fuck been hanging out in Iranian town, man?
I get the fuck oil money. That's what I get because I'm the Iron Sheik, baby. Yeah.
Not at all what I was looking for, but way better.
Still, though, Eddie, what the? I don't even remember what he's talking about now.
There's the title.
Becky Two Belts, I like as a moniker. As we've already established, I really love Lacey's character. Like,
let me ask you this.
Oh, sure. Go.
Yeah, I'd apologize, man. You know how I am, man. I'm scatterbrained, and I just got to get it out of my brain before I forget it. Do you think that there's a inkling of a possibility that they might pull the trigger and actually put the Raw title on Lacey Evans coming this Money in the Bank?
There's a chance. I don't think it's a big chance. I think to take a gimmick from O'Dowd and DeMarco, I think there's like a 5% chance because.
Come on, man. Take your balls out your pants, bro.
I love Lacey. Don't get me wrong.
5%.
5%, yeah. Because I don't think it's mostly going to be. What the fuck are you trying to say? I don't think there's a big chance. But I just say,
if you're going to go yes or no, just say yes or no. Like, if you're going to go 5%, just say yes or no, man. Come on, man.
That's just want a straight yes or no, then. You just want a straight yes or no? All right. I wasn't sure where you wanted to dive in with this question. Okay, so.
That's not what I wanted.
Platt, do you want to borrow a.
If it's yes or no, motherfucker, here's how I see it. I see her beating Charlotte because nobody wants to see any more of that feud. And we don't know where Becky's going to fall. I guess until she loses a belt, and that's assuming that they don't build in some kind of rematch clause, even though rematches don't exist unless they say otherwise. And Lacey as champion, I think, would be interesting because it would set up new feuds. It would set up a new landscape. And if it puts most of the Four Horsewomen on SmackDown, that would be a big boon for Fox. And then Raw has their own thing. Granted, I think you're correct. Where if anybody's going to win, it's going to be Charlotte. But I'd like to see it be Lacey. I could see it happening. I don't think it's overly likely. But yeah, I could see it. I like Lacey. I like the character. I like the direction. I like the fact she knows who the fuck she is. I like the reaction she gets. Everything about Lacey, I completely fucking love that character, that gimmick, that everything. And just to throw a question back to you, because it was discussed by me and my co-host on a Raw Reaction. Bratwurst. Bratwurst, your buddy. Do you like the inference that Becky has where Lacey, when she says curry favor, you know she means it in that very southern way of using her feminine wiles to kind of get men to do what she wants. But Becky kind of insinuated that curry favor means she kind of slept her way to the top or fucked somebody or blew somebody. Do you like the dynamic where Becky is kind of pointing a finger in a certain way, or do you think it's reaching and looking into it too deeply?
Well, for starters, I see all I had to do was challenge your testicular fortitude in order to get a good answer out of you. So I'll table that and keep that in mind for previous or future shows. Number two, I like it. I mean, every woman that has a job has that one woman on the job that she doesn't like. And the inference is that she might be a little loosey-goosey with the loins, if you smell them cooking.
You know what you mean, yes.
So I think it's natural. Like, I like it. You know what I mean? It's a natural thing. And that's some shit that a woman would hate another woman over. So I don't have a problem with it whatsoever. And it's playing up the little, you know, there is some sexual in the window there, but that's cool. Like, if we're going to push these women to the top, which they deserve to be there, well then let's, how can I say this? Let's have some realistic storylines and some realistic characters that can relate to a crowd or can relate to an audience. Like, that's some shit that you would see on, and I'm dating myself here because I don't know any of the new nighttime soap operas, but that's what you would see on some, like, Melrose Place or Falcon Crest or Knox Landing or Dallas or 90210. Like, that's a storyline that you would see itself play out. The vixen sex pot sleeping her way to success versus the hard-working, you know, ear-to-the-ground grinder. And the grinder's a little pissed about that, and they would work out a little storyline. Like, that's something that people can relate to.
You could at least pull Desperate Housewives. I know you that one.
Shout out to Desperate Housewives. My dad, rest his soul, he used to love him some Eva Longoria. Eva Longoria and Sandra Bullock. Those were, and Brooke Shields. Those were his three.
I thought you'd just keep naming women.
There's some that just got better with age or still look good no matter how old they are, and Eva Longoria, Sandra Bullock are definitely two of those. Jennifer Aniston, I think, has gotten better with age too.
Sophia Loren,
you know who's gotten better? You know, shout out,
you just don't want to, you know, get yourself in trouble. I see.
Oh, just someone that got better. That's just got just aged amazingly. Or what's her name? Australian. It was on Friends.
Australian that was on Friends.
Moved in with Joey.
The blonde?
Elle McPherson.
Oh,
well, that's mom. That was, yeah, because when I think, like, classic older women that age wonderfully and still look great, like Jane Seymour, Raquel Welch,
yes.
Julie Chen. Yeah.
Pam Grier just recently fell off the cliff.
How about Julie Chen?
Yeah, recently fell off the cliff. But yeah, up until maybe like 5 years ago, yeah. You know who I think is actually aged better, like looks better now than she did when she was younger, and she wasn't bad when she was younger? And I don't know why I have a thing for this person, but it's Marissa Tomei.
Oh, you and Costanza.
Yeah, me and Costanza, so yes.
Tomei is gorgeous. Like, I always thought she was cute when she was younger, too, but she held up nice. I get where you're going.
No, she didn't hold up nice, bro. She elevated. Like, I don't know if it was worse or she just
I didn't mind her when she
was
younger,
yeah,
though. That's the whole thing. Like, the My Cousin Vinny kind of thing, she
like,
was still
cousin
cute.
Vinny, yeah.
Yeah.
My Cousin Vinny, she was cute. She was straight for the stroke, but now she has aged into a beautiful woman, like for real. It's like I saw her in the Spider-Man movies, and you know, I went and saw the Avengers movie this weekend, and I won't give spoilers, but she did have a brief cameo in the movie, and yeah, she's stunning, for real.
Oh yeah,
and Angela Bassett.
Nice,
I'm gonna give the Avengers spoilers right now. The Night King dies. Oh wait, wrong spoilers. Oh fuck everybody.
Somebody's still going to be mad about that, though.
It was fucked up when...
Yeah, you can find me a PC Tony.
Deliver Bruce Wayne's pizza. Spoiler!
Heath Ledger comes back. That's the spoiler for Avengers.
Have either of you guys seen it? Because I don't think either of you guys are big Marvel movie guys, but have either of you seen it yet?
I've never seen an entire...
I just haven't seen it yet. I'm bigger than I let on. I just don't geek out over it like Rick and Dave and all them were. I'm like, it's a fucking movie. Like,
I've never seen an entire Marvel movie.
Wait, you've never actually seen any?
I've never seen the entirety of any Marvel movie.
How is that possible, man? There's 22 of them Melon Farmers, man, since 2008. That's not even possible.
What's her name, Tony? What's her name?
I'm a DC.
That's not possible.
Buddy?
I'm a DC guy.
Oh, okay, that's fair.
Dude, they got like three. They got like five movies, and they all suck. What do you?
It makes it easy for me. I'm a busy guy. Golf takes a long time.
All right, that's fair. But yeah, Balls, it's going to get to you, man, because I'm a goddamn robot when it comes to emotions. And the only reason I didn't tear up is because I forced myself not to tear up. Like, I just wasn't going to let it beat me. But even the guy next to me, And, you know, we kind of made friends because he was a Marvel mark. And even him, he's next to me, and I just
hear him. Well, Tony Stark. I don't know, and I haven't read any spoilers, but Tony Stark dies, right? I got that one right. Boom, and I don't even watch that shit. Boom, Iron Man's dead. Iron Man's dead, motherfuckers.
If we know anything as comic book fans, no one ever dies. It's a comic book.
The Night King is dead. Iron Man is dead. You're all fucking morons. Watch WWE.
Jesus Christ.
It's comic books. Someone can always go back and do something. So, I mean, that was the whole Cable saga for X-Men. Like, let's not act like time travel is not a thing that just ruins every continuity ever of comic books. Yes. But yeah, Lacey Evans.
That goddamn flux capacitor, man. I'll be going back in time as well.
Lacey Evans. Yes. So she's a great character. I appreciate where she's at. If I had to choose between her or Charlotte getting the title, I'd pick Lacey, but I think Charlotte's got a better shot.
Yeah, I don't know if Lacey is quite ready for a title run. That's a whole different level. You know what I mean?
It is, but at the same respect, she knows her character. So she can definitely keep the character elevated with the title. And then it works itself in well. But I guess we also have to see who wins the Money in the Bank, too. Because that
will make
a big difference, too.
Money, 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 money. Money. Money, 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 money. That brings up a question that our Commander in Chief, Mr. DeMarco, asked. He asked, does Lacey Evans know her character better than anybody else on the roster? I disagree. I think the person that knows their character better than anybody else is Aleister Black. But what say you, Mr. Balls?
No, not Aleister Black. Ew.
Yes, Aleister Black.
Aleister Black sucks. The only other person that's close to Lacey when it comes to character understanding is probably Alexa. And even Alexa has her couple hiccups, but she mostly understands her character and where she sits and how to react to things.
Wow.
But yet, not Aleister fucking Monica.
Yes, Aleister fucking Blake.
Fucking
satanic
Aleister Crowley bullshit.
You're going to go with the dwarf, 4'10", mean, cute, mean girl? Like, she knows who the fuck she is? Get the fuck out of here.
I never said it was difficult. I never said there were a lot of layers. But girl knows who she is. Fuck, she had everybody eat out of the palm of her hand for the last fucking year when she'd play up the whole, I'm so happy, I can't believe it. Then she'd go, fuck you all, you're stupid. Like, people bought into that shit. So, what's Aleister Black?
I love it.
Black mutters and then nobody reacts.
Number one, I love it that you again brought up Aleister Crowley, because I think there might be maybe two, maybe three of our listeners that'll even get that reference. And I actually have a book of his on my computer right now that I've been meaning to read for the last couple of months. But I mean,
which book?
The Book of Law.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, you familiar?
A little bit. I haven't read the whole thing, but I know a bit.
Okay, that means you've heard of it, but you've never read it. So, okay, cool. So, you've read the title, The Book of Law. But, no, that motherfucker gets his character, man. He does. I know you were saying he was phoning it in NXT, but no, that Mellow Farmer knows exactly who the fuck he is. He does. And he does better than any other character on the current roster. He gets it, and not only does he get it, but I feel like his in-ring moveset and moves and abilities coincide perfectly with his character.
I'll give you that part that the moveset works, but I'm not going to give you the character thing, because NXT, we saw some derivations where he talked too much, where he said stuff that really didn't quite line up. And
it's NXT. It's the developmental. That's when you try
Ricochet.
Shit, bruh.
I know it is, but the whole alliance shit.
Ricochet
doesn't really
work.
Here's my problem, though, with what you're saying. We've only seen 2 weeks of vignettes on the main roster, and we've seen a year or so of NXT. So he obviously didn't have it down pat at NXT, and in 2 weeks of him muttering in a dark fucking room about how just literally doing the Bray Wyatt thing, saying a whole lot of fucking nothing with hollow things of, you think you know who I am, but Just because I have tattoos and I worship Satan doesn't mean you know what I actually am. Like, hey, no, that's fucking nothing. He's maybe, fucking saying nothing.
Maybe he should. Maybe he should join the Firefly Funhouse.
Maybe he should.
It's NXT, sir. It's developmental. You try things. You see what works. He had his character down. He tried to try some different things. According to you, he got a little complacent down there, which is understandable because he deserved to be on the main roster.
You
he
know
tried
what we
some
need
things. Some things worked. Some things didn't.
We need that Dennis Green press conference if you want to crown him kind of thing, because we're literally 2 weeks into fucking promo bullshit, which he's saying nothing, and you're like,
yeah, exactly. Let's not act like I wasn't saying this last year on these very airwaves. Let's not act like that wasn't a thing. I literally said this exact same thing, that Aleister Black knows his character better than anybody else on the roster. It might not have been
possible. Okay, so back in NXT, you think Aleister Black knows his character better than Belkin?
But goddamn it, you can go back and find the tape if you have some time to go back and hear me say this exact same thing.
You think Aleister back in NXT, because a year ago was NXT, you think Aleister knows his character better than Velveteen Dream?
That's what I said.
How about the Miz?
You really think that even now you think that Aleister is a more fleshed out character than Velveteen?
How about the Miz?
Velveteen's just super charismatic, but no, he doesn't have that. He's nowhere near a completed project. Are you kidding me? He's nowhere near a finished product. Come on. As charismatic as he is, and I feel like he's the next one. He's the next big thing. But he's nowhere near a fleshed out project.
I think he's closer than Aleister. Aleister, I don't think, is nearly as complete as you think he is. But whatever. Opinions. That's the point of the show. And yeah, I just, it's going to take a lot for me to get behind Aleister. Yeah.
Are you guys talking about up and comers or just everybody in general on the roster?
I'm talking about everybody in.
Well, I mean, shit. Who knows their character better than the Miz?
Well, he just flipped, so the jury's still out.
I mean, or the what argument do you mean? Could be he who knows his... their character better than Randy Orton.
I mean, well, Randy Orton. That's one dimensional.
It's I'm good in the ring when I feel like trying, but other than that, I'm just a jerk off
asshole.
He's a
dick.
I'm motivated.
He's a dick. That's his character, and he's good at it.
The
he's
Miz
is, good dick.
The Miz has turned his character into reality show.
No. Oops. What? Who? Where?
Do not edit that.
Why? Where? What? No. Maybe.
That's
gonna
go down in the annals. With I butt chug salt water.
I bet it is gonna go in the annals, isn't it, buddy? Good dick always goes in the annals.
And you gave us another one.
I butt chug salt water all the time.
I think that's the end of the show.
Way too much today.
I think that's the end of the show.
Maybe permanently. Once DeMarco hears this, he's like, and you're done.
So as Andrew Belaz opens his closet door, Mr. Tunney, did you have anything that you wanted to add?
Close the door. It's cold in here.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's probably
Misa!
But it's still fun.
Misa, Jesus. Misa ruined the show.
Yeah, Joker, Jesus. Yes. So good.
I'm not editing. Jesus. I'm not editing anything out of this show. That's all I have to add. I'm at PC Tunney. Yeah, you can find me all over the fucking place.
And again, man. Again, congratulations, man, for the 200th show, man. You and DPP. That's a hell of an accomplishment. I literally love you guys, and I was out of this game, and you guys literally gave me a lifeline. And gave me a platform to come on and talk this shit. So if it wasn't for you and DPP, there'd be no Pot is War. There'd be no Christopher Platt on the chair shot. There would be none of this, man. So seriously, man, I consider you guys colleagues and friends. I love you guys. Congratulations for that milestone. It's a hell of a milestone. And mwah, seriously, all jokes aside, that's a shoot, man. Mr. Belaz, let the good folks know where they can find you.
Well, if you base things off the last couple minutes of this the show, maybe Grindr.
You can find him at the nearest bathhouse.
Yeah, yeah. The Turkish bathhouse. I'll be the guy whipping you with a towel. Oh, baby. I'll wax my mustache and whip you with a towel.
Bumblebee at the YMCA.
You know, in the Navy. You can sail the seven seas in the Navy. Anyway, so yeah, IWC War Chief, Twitter, that's the place. That no other place. Nope. Mm-mm. No. Platt, do the thing. Take us home.
All right. I'll do the thing. Take us home. So you guys can find me on Twitter at The Real C Platt. And if you want to join my hashtag boycott Postmates, I suggest every tweet that you use from now on, you include
the hashtag. You remembered Postmates.
Boycott Postmates. Yes.
He's really mad about this.
I'm pissed, man. Who the fuck eats garlic wings? What the fuck, man?
You're so funny.
Like, I love garlic. I cook with garlic a lot, but I don't want just garlic. Like, my shit still stinks, man. I gotta open some windows in this melon.
Tunny, you know what? You missed the thing when he talked about chicken wings. You need to have a thing about with Marty Scurll just screaming, "Chicken wing!"
Oh, thank God. I thought you was going to say some racist shit, so that's cool, man. That's cool. Let's wrap this up. Somebody mute this bird.
He's a little white British guy. How is that racist? Come on. Yes, you know, about fish and chips, baby. Fish and chips, baby.
Yeah, because it's not like British people colonized and enslaved black people. Anyway, you can find me on Twitter at The Real C Platt.
More
importantly than that, join my movement, hashtag fuck Postmates, boycott Postmates.
Ow.
Also, pick up your merchandise, man, your chair shot merchandise at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot, man. We've got a shirt for everybody. If you're a wrestling fan, if you love what we do, we've got something for you. I guarantee it. I think I said that right. But anyway, again, ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Please and thank you, please. I had to belch, pardon me. We're also patrons now. So take yourselves to patreon.com/thechairshot. If you enjoy what we do and you might want to hear it a little early, you can do that. You want to hear some new content that you've never heard before? You can do that. You want to get some columns a little early? You can do that. And all it costs you is $5 flipping. For less than a cup of coffee a day, ladies and gentlemen, you too can feed a little starving African child. I mean, no, wrong ad. You too.
YouTube,
become a patron, all right? Again, that's patreon.com/thechairshot. And I think it's best if we wrap this shit up. So for the Commissioner PC Tutty, for Andrew Snowflake Blass, I'm Christopher Platt. Thank you guys for tuning in to the latest edition. We'll be better. It'll get greater later. Until next time, shalom. Hit it, Carly. That was a pretty rough landing. That was like Denzel Washington in Flight, wasn't it? Jesus.
That's a hell of a way to put it.
I thought so. I thought it was apropos.
It was. I'm not arguing it. I just...
Gee, thanks. Way to pump my ego up there, pal.
Anytime, buddy.
It is what it is, man. What you gonna do? They can't all be winners, right?
I don't know. I thought that was pretty good. We had some nice digressions in there, and left for some funny quips and points.
Oh, no. I wasn't talking about the show. I thought the show was great. I literally meant
the landing was perfect. How we just kind of ended it, though.
That's fair. That's fair.